This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
What are we doing, folks? Let's go. It is another hour on another day. Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. We are ready to get you fired up as you roll into the weekend. The golden ticket seats will be here today. We'll spin the wonderful wheel of canned meat today. We'll take your phone calls today. Got new items in the Rick and Bubba store today. We'll tell you about various members of the show and folks connected to the show going out this weekend at various events. Events going on all over Rick and Bubba land, and we're glad you're here. So we'll move through the day together. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy, and Eddie Van Adler all here and ready to go. Adler now enhances the YouTube experience. The rest of the guys gave you the kickoff hour. If you missed that, you can always catch it on the Daily Archives. Catch the show live on our radio network, the boldest affiliates in the country carrying the Rick and Bubba Show. Thank you. Many of them have been here most of the 30 years. Also, don't forget the TuneIn app. If you don't have an affiliate, if you're searching for a live option, just go to TuneIn, download their free app, and then search Rick and Bubba Show. You'll get the show live every day, and also you'll get full shows archived for you. The YouTube option, as I mentioned, is another live option. You can watch us on YouTube if you're doing that. Hello. But you also can catch a daily archive on our YouTube channel of the entire show, our best of hour that's available on Blaze TV. So there's all the different ways you can get the show, either live or archived. We'll take you any way we can get you. So we're missing one, the silver tongue one, the man with the golden voice, professional lunch eaters, man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the king's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussin! Howdy, Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere. Rick, I've dreamed of singing this song with you.
Have you really?
I said, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer.
What was the listener's name? Do you remember?
I do not. It was she didn't say her name. It was an unscreen phone call, okay. So we just... We just went to her.
I hope she sang with us, right?
I hope so.
So, Bubba, we have a lot to unpack on the program. If you missed that on the kickoff hour, we had someone auditioning to sing with us, and she picked that one, Living on Prayer. That's a tough one.
That's pretty high there.
That's a tough one. There's a lot better ones and easier ones to do.
I was afraid that Speedy was going to attempt it, and after he finally got his voice back, it would be gone again.
Yeah. So I mean, won't you do something easy like Staying Alive?
Yeah, Staying Alive would have been simple, you know. Something from Bob Seger.
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
I'm joking, of course.
we'll move into the show today. The NFL draft last night, I know the kickoff hour may have dabbled in that. We'll look into that in greater detail. A new Rick and Bubba University, the podcast yesterday. Bubba and I had a very unique experience yesterday. Can I talk about that? That the podcast was actually monitored by NASA? Can I say that? Am I not supposed to say that?
No,
that's fine.
That was part of the deal.
I did find it interesting what they wanted edited. was funny.
That is funny.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, we talked with NASA's Tony Casey about the WB-57 flight on the solar eclipse, how he got in that role, got that job, and all the different things that they get to do and he's done. It's really interesting.
Yeah, so. he's quite a character and quite a story how he got there. It's encouraging, I think, to other people that want to maybe go into science and get into that, because he gave you the insight how to do it, maybe if you're not the absolute best.
Well, and he also is so familiar with the show. It was so helpful. Because at moments, those of you out there that are the me's out there, he would literally say, "Rick, stay with me."
Yeah,
and he would explain it in a way that I completely enjoyed it. Right. So you're all fine.
He was so concerned about holding your attention.
He did. He was very, very entertaining. So and informative. I found it fascinating.
Yeah.
So catch that this weekend on Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, wherever you get podcast, and then we'll a lot of stuff going on this weekend. If you're going to be in the Birmingham, Alabama market area, 104.7 WZZK, Greg and Speedy tomorrow, 1 to 3, they will be at the shops of Grand River.
Mm-hmm,
is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be gripping and grinning. And there's a lot going on in that part of Alabama, so a lot of you will be there. Go by and see them. Get a chance to get a picture made with them. And then, ladies, by the way, I know it's right. Anything I posted. But apparently I've been telling all of y'all that Sherry is speaking in Prattville, Alabama tomorrow at a women's conference. And I keep saying tomorrow night when it's actually a lunch. So I'm sorry. It starts at like 11:30 in the morning. So it goes 11:30 to 1:30. But everything I've posted, you know, it has that on it. So anyway, ladies, and if you check for details, you discovered that anyway. So it's not like I messed it up because you had to go get your details.
Right.
But anyway, that's tomorrow. That's a great opportunity, ladies, in and around that area to go hear Sherry and the others that will be part of that women's event. And then today, we climb on a bird, Rich Wingo and I, and we will be flying to Omaha, Nebraska, where we will speak at a men's conference tomorrow. This church is doing the men's discipleship strategy from themanchurch.com, and they're in the curriculum called Be Disciples, and this is the Be Disciples gathering. So this will be the high challenge part of it, and they'll go right back into the high equipping, which is the curriculum. And Bubba, I showed you this picture, and I'm thinking, Do you use this to promote us going to Nebraska? Because it's actually a picture of Wingo when he played for Alabama, and it looks like he's about to destroy somebody from Nebraska. So I'm thinking to myself, should I be using that?
Rick, yeah, I thought that was pretty bold of you.
Honestly, I think the Nebraska fans will say we probably beat you guys during those days.
Maybe. I know that Wingo, of course, he's incredibly humble.
What year was that? I'll look that up.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
78. That's the 78 preview, so that would have been the 77 game.
77?
Because they would have had the photo from the year before, I guess. So 77. But anyway, Wingo, of course, in all humility, said, "I probably missed the tackle." Now, we know better than that.
Right.
But he said
he looked like he was coming right in.
It didn't look like it.
No.
Matter of fact, I talked to someone, like a lot of us, you know, Wingo's been transformed by Jesus. And I actually had to met with a guy that's actually writing a book about Jacksonville State football. And it's going to be the biggest wins in Jacksonville State football history. And he wanted to know if we had any pictures from Dad's era. And so he's very, 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 very informed about college football, and he's a little bit older than us. And so there it was. Nebraska won 31-24, Bubba.
Yep, I saw that. Yep. And but there's actually some video of that game, and it looks like they're down on the goal line. I don't know if Rich is in that, would be on the
I can't tell who's got the ball.
Yeah, he would be. I'll look at this.
Because he's on the goal line stand against Penn State.
Oh, I know, but you may have footage of him playing in that game.
Okay. But anyway, so this guy is talking to me, and I mentioned Rich Wingo because he just started talking about Alabama.
Yeah.
And he talked about this era, about when they beat Ohio State and Sugar Bowl, and they beat Penn State, you know, with the goal line stand and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "Well, yeah, you know, Rich Wingo is a dear friend of mine." He looked at me and said, "Rich Wingo?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yes, sir." And he goes, "Oh, he's vicious." he said he was a killer. And I said, "Yeah, he's been transformed by Jesus." He said, "Really?" And I think the guy came to Christ in my office over Rich Wingo.
Over that?
No, I'm just kidding. It was, so that's Omaha at Westside Baptist Church. Starts tonight. Rich and I will be speaking tomorrow morning, Lord willing. So all that can be found either at rickandbubba.com under upcoming events, themanchurch.com under upcoming events, or burgessministries.com under upcoming events. Big day today on the show. We'll start dipping our toe in that when we come back right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so I want some, everybody stop what you're doing if you don't have what you're going to do for mom for Mother's Day, because I got it. I mean, this is going to be incredible. We have already gotten this done. Paint Your Life is a brand new sponsor here on the Rick and Bubba Show, and this is a game changer. Now, what do? They have these incredible artists, and what you can do. Now, picture this for mom. You go and find a family photo that that maybe has something that will make mom cry. Okay, something she just absolutely loves. Maybe it's a picture of the family. Maybe it's a picture, you know, of her when she was younger. Maybe it's a picture of her and your dad, or it's a picture of just whatever it is. Take this picture, send it to Paint Your Life. Those artists will make a painting of it that is an incredible keepsake. It looks great in the home. What we did, Sherry and I, when Paint Your Life started saying, hey, we'd love to do something for y'all since y'all are going to be talking about it. And what we did, you know, we had the weddings this past fall, two of our sons. So we took one of the wedding pictures that was just beautiful and sent it in. And we were just, could not believe. And they can get these back to you in like 2 weeks. So you can still make Mother's Day. The beauty and the craftsmanship is just incredible, and the price extremely reasonable. So if you're looking for a great Mother's Day, and look, Father's Day is coming in June, either one works. Paint Your Life is a great, great offer. You can give the most meaningful gift you've ever given at paintyourlife.com. There is no risk. If you don't love the final painting, and they were very good making sure we loved it, your money's refunded, guaranteed. And now for a limited time, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping to get this special offer. Listen, this is going to be a text. Okay, we're doing a little different. Take the word Bubba, B-U-B-B-A, and you need to text it for 20% off, 87204. Now, do that again, 87204, text Bubba, okay? Paint Your Life will then get you 20% off, and then you'll give them the portrait that you want done, and you can take these moments that matter the most and turn them into beautiful paintings. We absolutely love ours. So right now, text Bubba to 87204, 87204, and get 20% off. And, of course, don't forget, by texting 87204, you agree to receive reoccurring automatic marketing messages from PaintYourLife.com. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at PaintYourLife.com/term. So we'll get into some of the other stories. I hate to go Debbie Downer on a Friday, but when you're looking at the things that our economy desperately needs, and you keep looking at the Biden administration, either, and we've always set up these scenarios, either they are just dumb as a rock, okay, or there's some sort of, I don't know, desire to destroy the economy.
Avowed communist is the word you're looking for.
It's one of those things because, now when we say anything based on all the audio clips and videos we keep showing you, anytime we use the term Biden, what we mean is the Biden administration, because we know that Joe Biden, the man, has a tough time deciding, getting through lunch.
Not only breakfast. His administration, but the swamp behind it.
Right. Yeah. All those that are running the country right now, we know it's not this man. And actually, even though I don't like their ideology, I do take some comfort in the fact that this man is not running the country, because he can't. Hmm. But anyway, the Biden administration, Bubba, this is one of the things that you have lamented about on this show, and we've talked about on this show. One of the most destructive things you can do for the economy, but politicians use it as one of the most effective ways to get votes.
Rick, this the latest proposal here, and there's going to be a lot of stories about it in the next few days. He is proposing to hike the top capital gains rate in the country to the highest level in more than a century.
Oh, boy.
And is facing heavy criticism from experts who warn the action will damage significantly the U.S. economy.
Oh, it will be.
Well, we know it's running like a top now.
Oh, my gosh.
This is really staggering when you think about what he's trying to do and how he's trying to transfer wealth in this country.
Yep.
the top, and let me be clear here. I'm not an expert on it, but when you have income that's taxed, you have ordinary income like what you do from your job, your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other forms of income like investment income or long-term investment income. And that's not, and it's not taxed the same way.
Right.
So if you say you buy something and you hold it for a certain amount of time, I think it's a year now, and then you sell it, it would fall under what they call capital gains. You wouldn't be taxed like you are at your job with your paycheck, right?
Yeah.
Well, currently, like your ordinary income is taxed anywhere from 10 to 37-40%. Now, I don't know what the exact number is, okay? So that's ordinary income. If you have capital gains, it's taxed anywhere up to the top bracket is 20%.
Right.
So Biden is proposing changing that top bracket from 20% to 44.6%, a staggering over 100% increase. Unbelievable. The economics people are going nuts all over the country and really on both sides of the aisle. Investment is the real driver in the economy. And this is one economics expert. He says if you're going to tax something, you get less of it.
Yep.
And that's just true for investment as it is for anything else. Taxing capital gains means less investment.
Oh.
It means less economic growth.
No,
and it means the rise in people's standards of living is going to slow down dramatically. So, you know, again.
Which is just logic.
For a guy that doesn't understand inflation.
Logic.
Which is eighth grade stuff.
Right.
Okay. He. Clearly here, I mean, you can't be this uninformed or ignorant. This has to be a ploy, okay?
Well, I think you hit on it. This is that ridiculous notion, which, by the way, is communism, is the redistribution of wealth. And we sell the uninformed by saying, look at us, we're going to go get more of the wealthy people's money, which is not exactly that, but they'll say that. And yeah, we're going to get them.
Well,
and then you're like, yeah, get them. But what you don't understand that those who have these investments, to Bubba's point, all that does is squeeze down. If they now have less of it, we all are affected by that. We all end up with less.
Well,
and the economy struggles because money comes out of the economy.
Like you say, this is a good selling point. But trust me, the Elon Musk of the world, the Warren Buffetts of the world, they're not going to be affected by this.
No.
They have ways to get around it.
It'll
just
squeeze.
Like on their paycheck. See, they don't get a paycheck like everybody else. They take out a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Their company, you know, they play a loan game and pay back, and they never pay taxes on it. Jeff Bezos never pays taxes. Amazon doesn't pay any taxes. They take advantage of all these loopholes. See, that's what ought to be fixed.
Yeah.
Not this. Let me tell you who this is going to affect. This is going to affect middle-class people who have got ahead just a little bit, who have bought a second home.
They found some breathing room.
Who have bought a farm, who have bought a house to rent, who have bought a small business and bought the building that the business is in, and or who tries to rent apartments and stuff like that. That's the people that's going to crush. And think about it. Those are the people who are really making the jobs in the country because there's so many of them in the middle that makes this go. We always talk about the great power of the middle class has been the success story of the U.S., and that's true. I don't know why Joe Biden's trying to destroy it.
Well, everybody's got to learn. It really is this analogy. Every time they start this, we're going after the wealthy garbage. It's almost like them somebody saying, we're going to go punch this bully that is bothering you. And every time they come in, they punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And then they go, why are you punching me in the face to get him? And you're like, well, you're punching me. You're not punching him. Yeah, but vicariously, we're punching him. But I keep feeling it.
Yeah.
You're punching me. And we got to stop buying that garbage. I mean,
this is your own demise.
Bizarre.
I don't understand. In an election year when the economy is in the can already and they're proposing this?
No.
What?
We hadn't recovered from the inflation problem.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
I know you. Did you even take time to see what the Vikings might do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had a big night.
Wow, what a crowd. They estimate over 200,000 people there in Detroit. Wow, wow, wow.
I told you, they're fired up by football.
What a gathering. Are. What a gathering. Bubba, good news.
Look at them lines.
Look at them.
It looks like you picked up J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, as predicted. I don't know. Hopefully that'll be a good pick for the Vikings since you got rid of your veteran quarterback. I know the NFL can be a tough place to learn on the job.
But I did like the move up to get Dallas Turner, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great pick.
Yeah.
He's killer.
You almost were positive.
For just a second. They got aggressive, though.
There was just a little bit of optimism that crept in. It didn't stay long. And I wouldn't call it. I don't think it planted. I don't think it has roots. But
no, Turner is solid. He, you know, these edge rusher guys.
They can make
a difference and an impact quick in the NFL. We've seen that.
You worried about his weight? Anybody? Want him to get a little bigger, thicker?
Nah, he's good.
Really? No, he'll play good on that turf. The quarterback is more of a question mark. You hope they turn out. You hope that works.
Well, you know how we all are. It's somebody, whether they won't admit it or not, in the back of their minds, they're thinking, Tom Brady played at Michigan. I mean, you know.
Well, has anything to do.
I know, Greg, in the back of how people are.
In the back of everybody's mind, everybody wants this to be the second coming of Tom Brady.
They do.
That's the bottom line.
Guys, just because they played in the same college means absolutely nothing.
Greg, I know that. I didn't say
that. And guys, if you got to follow that route, he went too high in the draft. Tom went in the sixth round.
I know, Greg. We don't need all this.
The Tom Brady comparisons are for Drake May, who went to the Patriots. Unfairly, they're saying. Yes. I think they drafted their next Tom Brady.
That,
and that's just unfair to the guys being drafted right now.
I
heard the same thing about, was it Jaden Daniels talking about Lamar? Was it Lamar Jackson they were comparing him to, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. Yeah, Caleb Williams is being compared to Mahomes.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, really, guys, calm down.
Is that who did he go first? Like everybody thought,
yeah.
Caleb?
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels from LSU went second. Drake May, North Carolina, third. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals is the fourth pick. Joe Alt from Notre Dame to the Chargers. Malik Nabers from LSU went to the Giants. J.C. Latham from Alabama went to the Titans. Penix went to the Washington Commanders, or whatever they are now.
No, they didn't. He went to the Falcons.
Penix went to the Falcons, which caught everybody off guard.
He played for Washington.
You should have played for. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong column.
That is the draft pick that everybody was talking about because they just signed Kirk Cousins to $180 million four-year deal. Yeah. But the GM for the Falcons said, hey, look,
I think that's smart.
He's still our quarterback. Kurt is, but we're planning for the future.
That's smart. Well,
it almost seems like the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love thing that we had a few years ago.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you can't expect a team to let everything ride on one quarterback. Look at the Jets last year.
Well,
you can't. I mean, in the NFL, your backup's going to get
playing, especially with Cousins
coming back from the same injury.
History, right, of injury.
So I think it's a good pick. You've got to protect that. And he did go to the Falcons. Let me be clear. We had another Washington player run. Is he the wide receiver?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
How do you say his last name?
Yeah. I tried it earlier, Bubba. It was awesome.
I'm not going there. J.J. McCartney from Michigan to the Vikings as the 10th pick. Bo Nix, we've had his dad here on the show a couple of times, goes to the Denver Broncos. Via Oregon.
I know you skipped the 11th pick from the Jets. That name, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't do it.
Whoa.
I like that you didn't even acknowledge it.
Hey, let's just call it no hope.
Okay? Let me tell you something. Absolutely. That guy's name, the offensive tackle from Penn State, it looks like somebody spilled a bucket of letters. And people just picked him up and just threw him down. But anyway, the Jets did pick him up at 11, a great offensive line.
Well, I just did the top 10, and I was going to mention Bo.
I got you.
And a couple other people of interest. Brock Bowers from Georgia goes as the 13th overall pick to the Raiders.
There's a player.
The way he plays, he fits the Raiders moniker.
Now, why did everybody hate? They've already
got
enough tight ends.
They said they need defensive players and edge people and all. The guy made the statement. You remember, we've heard this before. I don't know who he was. I was listening on the radio. He said they were going to break. He said, when we come back, I'm going to tell you why the Raiders shouldn't even be allowed to come to the draft. He said nothing against Brock Bauer. He said he'll be a superstar.
No, that has nothing to do with it.
He said, but that was a bad pick for them.
For them.
He may be right.
For their needs. And that was what was the one? Was it the Jets that time when the guy said, apparently the Jets have no idea what the draft is supposed to be used for? What you're supposed to do is go get things you need.
Yeah good player to help your team out. Right. Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. Don't you think, though, because the Chargers, you know, in all the pre-draft picks, and so, they were going to probably get him. And do you think it was just the Raiders was like, man, he's available.
Maybe
how do
it's
we
just
pass
it comes down to best guy on the board right
now.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Let's think about this, too. I don't know their needs. I don't know who's on the roster now. But the Raiders, historically, with Dave Casper, was such a great tight end during their heyday. I think somewhere deep down inside, there's somebody at the Raiders longing for that again, you know, and go, if we could just have a tight end. And the tight end position, let's face it, has been redefined in the NFL in the past 5-6 years.
He fits.
I think they're more important than a running back now.
Yeah, they are. He fits the current mode of what everybody's looking for now. I think it's one of those things. Did the Raiders need another fishing rod? They had plenty, but this is a really good fishing rod.
And it's available.
It's available. He is very shiny. I can't pass him up. He's too shiny.
You could use those Zebco 33s and get you something else. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. I mean, if he's on the board, it's hard to pass him up. I don't care if you need tight ends or not.
How many rounds did we end up last night? Because, of course, I didn't make it halfway through
the first round. Just the first round.
I didn't see any of it. But
Rick, I walk in. I stayed over here last night because Ellis had a game. Mom's watching the draft.
Oh, she loves that kind of stuff. Mom's on top of football.
Rick, she's a Stallions fan.
I know.
She's fired up there undefeated.
She loves the Stallions. I'm going to tell you, the popularity of the draft show has –
Did you see
it? It's unbelievable how it's exploded over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And they've made it a good show. You know, it is a good show.
Top of the hour, we'll be back.
On the clock.
Rick and Bubba are now on the clock.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At 866, we be big. Will's in Alabama. Hey, Will, well, thanks for your patience, and welcome to the Rick and Bubba Show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I was wanting to talk about the vegan restaurant you guys were discussing earlier.
Sure.
And when Bubba started talking about the people that were mad at him for switching back to meat, he was really close to getting into another pita eater situation, and I just got really nervous about it.
He walked that line correctly, though, didn't he? Oh, way to go, Bub. That was one of my favorite moments of all time. Bubba and I really, honestly,
never got off the ground.
That was like year one. I thought we were done.
Yeah, I thought we were done.
Let's go to Charles in Gadsden, Z93. Charles, go ahead.
Rick and Bubba, listened to you a long time.
Thank you.
Y'all work. Your old station was very close, very, very close to my work. And for about a week-long period, you and Bubba and I were on the same lunch schedule. This is back in the days when we were biggins.
Are you talking about in Gadsden?
Are you talking about, did you ever hit Applebee's with us and go after the fudge nut fantasy?
Well, we were on the same schedule. Every rest for about a 7-day period or a 5-day period, I'd go in a restaurant and there would be Rick and Bub.
Well, and the way we were eating then, if you went to the restroom, there we were too. So we would, let's see, Bubba, we would hit Applebee's.
Oh, yeah.
We hit Pruitt's.
Oh. Well, I was going to say,
we had a rotation.
Wendy's, we had Wendy's.
Yeah, we just bounced around.
Yep.
At one time had the Chinese buffet till the incident.
Right. That probably made it twice a week on there.
Right,
but
right.
My favorite was to go to Pruitt's when it was just a little chilly outside.
And
get a bowl of chili and a grilled cheese sandwich and dip it in the chili.
Oh, yeah.
man.
Number one.
Yes. What are you talking about, Willis?
We continue. Let's go to Keith in Tennessee. Keith, go ahead.
Hey, guys. For all the word police and everything, all farming is regenerative. You have a seed, you plant the seed, it produces a crop. Therefore, it is producing another crop on top of that. Cattle are the same way. You know, you breed cattle, they produce offspring, and it's a regenerative cycle. So the word police have it wrong, and it's just like organic or anything else.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to have a word that everybody goes off of that means nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So all farming is regenerative, and these people are idiots.
Thank you. And Keith, I had a sense that that was coming, but I wanted a farmer to actually say it. It kind of goes back to, you know, a slogan that Bubba and I worked on, and it just would not be embraced, and certainly not now. If you love an animal, eat it. That means anytime something becomes valuable, then you end up with people keep wanting to reproduce it and have more of it. So
you do remember Ted Turner's, you know, started the Buffalo. What was the name of the restaurant? Was it called?
Buffalo. No, it wasn't Buffalo.
It was called.
Let me see here.
Something.
Doggone it.
I cannot remember the name of it, but that's what they served was Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Ted Turner probably
saved buffalo.
As an individual, did more to bring back the population of the buffalo herd than anybody's ever done.
Right.
Montana Grill.
Montana Grill. Thank you.
They're out of hand now, and we have so many of them now, they're constantly running over Asian people trying to take their picture. But still, but they are back. Let's go to Arnold out of Birmingham, 104.7 WZZK. Arnold, go ahead.
I'm going to cut straight to the chase, guys. I'm in search for one John Bird. I can't find him anywhere, okay? I've tried emailing him, calling him, leaving him messages. He won't return my calls, anything like that. I have a friend who's written a parody for you guys. Would you like to hear it?
Ahead, Arnold. Yeah, okay.
Speedy, don't worry. Don't get nervous. I have a wonderful voice. It will make your hair grow back.
Yeah, who cares? Speedy probably read the lyrics on the air. Don't worry about that. Go ahead.
Hey. Okay, you ready?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
No more voice.
Two fat men on the radio. This is my favorite show. They've got class and they've got style. Turn the volume up and don't you touch that dial. They're here for you. They're here for me. One thing's for sure. It's guaranteed. You're going to laugh. You'll have a ball. Comedy, common sense. They've got it all. Come on, come on. Let's hear Rick and Bubba. Come on, come on. Won't you listen to them talk? Come on, come on. Don't you know they're funny? Come on, come on, let's hear Rick and Bubba talk.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Okay, to stay with the accent, too, is amazing, by the way.
Arnold, that's not bad.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Was that actually John Bird?
No.
I
could tell.
I
think that's
possible. You could tell.
Yeah, I know John's voice.
He was Arnold.
No. Hey, there was one time you hear him, he goes, all right, lady, we got. He kind of went into his normal voice.
I
don't think it
was. But a good question.
But he might be. Yeah. You never know.
Keith in Alabama. Keith, go ahead.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good, great, man. Hope you're all right.
I'm doing great. Listen, Lord, let the sun come up another day. Let me see, and that's a good day. Wanted to talk to Bubba for a minute.
Yes,
Bubba,
sir.
A little confused. Maybe you could explain something to me.
Okay.
On Skinwalker Ranch, that last episode of season 4, where they shot that big rocket right up through the center, and it never came down. They never seen it go anywhere. You know, they never touched on that I seen before. Reckon where in the world that rocket, did it come out in Birmingham somewhere? I don't know where the rocket went. Do you have any idea?
You know, we didn't ask Travis about that. He was here last Friday.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think they lost a rocket shooting it up. Of course, it could have gone, you know, it was kind of desertly out there. It could have gone
desertly.
Somewhere. Well, you know what I mean.
I know. I like that word. That's a good.
I wish Arnold said it.
Let me say this. There's a lot of desert out there. That's a year ago. That's a good question.
That is a good
question. Yeah. But I don't remember the outcome of it. But they, at one point, they thought it had gone through a wormhole or something.
Yeah, I remember that now. Speedy, how'd you do during that?
Desertly.
Andy Blank sent, this is the three texts from him.
Okay.
Core temperature rising, had to bail too much, I'm out.
Yeah.
Did you struggle? Yeah. I thought the guy did pretty good, you were just worried how it was going to go.
I was. About halfway through it, he really kind of started getting the beat.
Yeah, he got
and
it.
And I turned okay, but at first I wanted to bail.
He's got a great accent. Yeah, he's got the impersonation down. And to do it while you're singing, that's tough.
And I think nice selection of song as well.
I just wanted to say, get down.
Get down. We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
The insanity continues. The country that we once knew and loved vanishing by the day. Hopefully, we as Americans will try to do something about that come November. But here's a USC graduate. Now, I want you to imagine this when you think about the overstep and the insanity of how we're living right now. She's going to talk to us. It's a girl. She's going to talk to us about the fact that she has missed her high school graduation and apparently now will miss her college graduation. And she's going to tell us why. So here we go.
So USC just canceled our graduation. I have no words. Like, this is so... like, it's actually comical at this point. If you don't know, the seniors that are graduating college right now are the seniors that graduated in 2020, where we didn't have a high school graduation, and a lot of us had, like, drive-through fake graduations or no graduation at all. And now we are seniors about to graduate, getting ready for our first real graduation, and it just got canceled.
Mm-hmm. So she stumbles a little bit.
Yep.
But it's because of the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine demonstrations. USC has canceled them.
Yep.
Interesting.
So I want you to imagine how it feels, and she looks pretty distraught. So the COVID shutdown stuff that we now know most of it was not even necessary, and that cost you your senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, all right, we finally have come out of most of the insanity of the pandemic, even though some people are still clinging to it. And now I don't get to graduate because we can't just simply deal with protesters and not allow them to disrupt the graduation. And now I can't graduate from college. I want you to imagine that.
Oh, I know. I know. And think about this. In an attempt to publicize your position politically, have you made these people sympathetic or now they are going to be hostile to your goals?
I say hostile.
Well.
The next one, Bubba, remember we had the Columbia student that came down to NYU for the protest but didn't know what we were protesting. Well, we have Speedy, you might want to leave the room. Andy Blanks, come back in a little bit, or don't watch on YouTube, just listen. We have an interpretive dance.
Oh, boy.
No, sir.
And this interpretive dance, Greg, Bubba, Helmsy, Adler, Speedy, Strings for Decolonization.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So this is going to be interpretive dance against colonization.
As if interpretive dance isn't bad enough.
While wearing a mask back to the people that are still clinging to the pandemic.
Many masks.
Don't know why.
Now,
where is this? This is Columbia, Greg. Costs a lot of money to go there, 50 grand a year.
Strings of Decolonization, Greg. Don't make fun of it.
Strings of Decolonization.
Strings of Decolonization.
Now, this is a bunch of people dancing with yarn.
Yeah.
Representing the strings.
I thought when they said strings, it meant the instruments that they were going to be
playing. I don't like that.
Just yarn.
Somebody tell me these.
This is yarn of decolonization.
So I'm supposed to look at this and go, decolonization.
You're supposed to be anti, in this particular case, it looks like the Israelis.
Yes.
By watching this and what they are doing to the Palestinians, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And this yarn is somehow driving the point home.
Now, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, they got the headpiece on.
Don't forget.
Yep. Yasser Arafat.
But don't forget Yasser Arafat's headpiece. Do not forget this. If they truly were living under Hamas rule, not here at Columbia University, everything they have on, they would not be allowed to wear. They would not be able to allow to wear jeans. One person, even though they have their legs covered, still have shorts on. That would not be allowed, even though she has leggings on in the shorts.
I don't get the message.
And tell me these masks of all these students, is this for pollen? Please tell me it's for pollen.
No. No. It's not for
Let me ask you this. How many times did they meet in somebody's garage to work on this?
I don't know. It's apparently not enough.
And what does it mean? I don't understand their message.
It's during their little it's in that their little tent.
That's because you're not deep enough, Greg.
You know how
it's an interpretive dance about decolonization.
I'll go ahead and say this. Any interpretive dance needs to be done away with.
Would you ban all interpretive dance?
Yes, if I was in charge. Right. That would be day one.
But doesn't the word interpretive mean I need to be able to see what...
You know what?
You know what it usually what it means? Weird. It's it a does. Weird dance.
Rick, I have an idea. More pipelines, less interpretive dance.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bo. Day one. Day one.
I wonder if somebody...
I'll take that bumper sticker, sir.
I wonder if somebody researched the composer to the song they were dancing to. I'm sure
if you
find
said it wrong was an interpretive dance and you came out and did the robot or something cool, it would help. But to put a bunch of yarn on you
some and they always, or something.
Every one of those dances always has some of this in it.
Yes.
Oh, you got to move that, slow. The swaying of the arms.
Why do we have to sway like a tree in the wind
and tie yarn on us?
It's like one of those little remote things that go out.
I'm with you. If you're going to do an interpretive dance that I might pay attention to, let's pop and lock.
It's always got a lot of this in it, right?
Give
here.
Me a good beat.
Same face.
It's got a lot of that.
But how does a yarn tied to a ring,
I don't know,
and me moving like this while wearing Yasser Arafat's bandana and a mask over my face? What
is the mask to hide?
Not learn to line dance?
Yeah, the good line dance. Yeah. I love to see people that can pull off a good line dance.
You guys just aren't deep enough for this. Is what
How about
it is.
Clogging?
I'm not.
How about clogging? Ooh. Interpretive clogging.
Speedy, you bring up a good point. Is the mask because they don't want people to know who they are? They are going to claim, I think they claim it's because of COVID.
Yeah.
But they truly don't want to put their name, their identity to any of this stuff because they're cowards.
Yep. And I promise you, just like the girl we looked at yesterday, you pull that crowd standing around, ask them why they're there. They don't have any idea.
Mm-hmm. Pull them? Mm-hmm.
Pull them.
Yeah.
Pull them, pull them.
Pull them. I call them pull them and put them in one big pool.
Well, when you're, because I do see
pull them and then pull them.
Yeah, that's right. Then you get your answer.
Yeah. There you go.
I look and standing North around.
Pull them while they're in the pool.
Yeah, I look around and I see people standing there watching with mask on outside. They're not even involved in it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They're making
and they got their headpiece on, right?
So do they think that COVID can get them outside in the quad?
You know what I think? I think the lack of oxygen with a mask is affecting their brain.
I there's no...
Well, I know this made me... I wasn't concerned until I saw this.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, they must be onto something. Well,
look, they're bored to tears. You see all the tents around them. They're just... They're bored to tears in between all the waiting around, and they're been sitting in their tent all day. The so they got
to
get out.
All right, so back to the original interpretive dance. Okay, it can anybody say in the history of movements? Okay, because there's been so many during our history that there was one person that said, "I noticed you changed your view on that." I did. What was the turning point? The interpretive dance.
Yeah, that got me.
I was so far against...
Flipped the switch with me.
Open my eyes.
I was so far against this movement until they got to me through this interpretive dance.
Yeah, I'm good. When they pulled that yarn out, suddenly I fell for the Palestine.
Today, I will sit down and I will rethink my position in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It was the interpretive dance.
Guilty as charged.
That was the turning point.
That did it, Rick.
Yeah,
when they brought the yarn and they had them moves.
That was the one. I was
wearing them dish rags.
I was a fence rider right up to that point.
Yep. Come on in.
We'll be back. 866, we be big. So there's the You're America. Imagine if your student could not graduate from high school because of the shutdown and COVID.
Wow.
And now you can't go watch their college graduation at USC because of protesters. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So we were trying to watch this yesterday, the various Trump trials. Two of them overlapped yesterday.
A lot of trials.
Yeah, a lot of trials with Trump. Now, I will prepare you. I don't know why there's been an influx of people that talk in this strange thing that RFK Jr. has, I had never heard anybody talk this way till him. Now I'm hearing multiple people talk this
way. I think his name's Sawyer. John Sawyer. Yeah. He is Trump's attorney that is arguing before the Supreme Court right now on the presidential immunity case. You know, you bring up a good point with overlapping trials. Think about how many trials and how many things are going on right now for somebody who didn't kill anybody.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, it's, I mean,
you
could have mowed somebody down at the mall and not had this many trials.
So Trump update. Trump. So here is Justice Jackson. In the interaction with Trump lawyer, we believe John Sawyer, I think.
Yeah, this is one of the highlight pieces from yesterday that's making the round.
All right, so here we go.
Benjamin Franklin said, as we view the prosecution of a chief executive as something that
Greg, just let it happen. My goodness, all right?
He's got so many people talking this way now.
He's got a bad voice.
That's right. Crazy.
We warned you.
He's making a good point, Greg.
I will never hear it.
Benjamin Franklin said, as we view the prosecution of a chief executive as something that everybody cried out against as unconstitutional. And what George Washington said is, we're worried about factional strife, which will...
No, let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
I respectfully disagree with that because the regime you've described is the regime we've operated under for 234 years. There has not been an expectation based on 234 years of unbroken political...
All right, let me ask you another question.
She tries to change the subject.
I could hear nothing.
You can be upset all you want to, but we've operated this way for 234 years. I'm now afraid that this thing RFK Jr. has, since this is now the third person in a really short period of time that I've heard, with, are we all susceptible to this? Can this happen to all of us?
Has he been talking so much?
If you talk too much every day, it could happen.
Should I be gravely concerned?
Yeah.
The most common cause is abnormality in your vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have like an injury. Spasmodic dysphonia can come on from an injury. And it can also come from like a problem in your brain.
It almost feels like RFK Jr. is now giving it to people.
Yeah. It can be inherited. Yeah. It can start after a cold or a flu or an injury to the voice box or a long period of voice use or stress.
Okay. All right. Well, bottom line is, he said, you're getting upset with a regime and the way we've done this for 234 years. That's the point I'm making. You can be upset, but it seems like we've gotten through it this way for 234 years. Why now do you think this is something to be concerned about? Yeah. That all of a sudden presidents will just be a bunch of lawbreakers and be running wild?
Well, there's two complicated issues here, okay? Mm-hmm. One, it is, how can a president who no one is should be above the law? No, I think we all agree on that, right?
Of course not.
The other part of this is where you see in the arguments being made that charges will be made against presidents as political enemies, factions, as what he was referring to, as opposed to legitimate law breaking. And that's what they're saying you're seeing now. The other argument in this, and it is a bigger argument, is how much power does the Supreme Court actually have over the president to make a ruling?
Right.
Because they are equal branches of government,
right,
with checks and balances. So some people are even arguing that the Supreme Court really has very little authority what they can do with the president.
Right.
Now, they can have a lot to do with the citizens, but as far as the president himself, right, being a separate and equal branch of government, are they even in a position to dictate these terms to it? But somebody has to set the bar, right? So, but it and another issue coming out of this, and you're hearing some of this, but I don't think they're talking about it enough, is interference of an election. Yeah. You're keeping the leading candidate of one of the two major parties, who, by the way, is the leading candidate in 7 out of 8 polls, from being on the campaign trail,
well,
which is election interference. So how do you balance all of these out?
Mm. Well, Sawyer says correctly, the founding fathers have already answered this question for us. And for 234 years, we all agreed. It is more likely that political parties will use criminal allegations against candidates they don't like to tie them up. That's more likely to be a problem than rogue presidents that are a bunch of lawbreakers and just break laws left and right because they think we can't touch them.
Yeah, and it,
the
and
founding
it's clear,
said that I think the first one is a bigger problem than the second one. The second one not near as likely.
See, I even on a broader scale, the justices and some of these are very anti-Trump people. They've made comments to that effect, which, you know, probably means they shouldn't be ruling on it, but I won't go into that.
Right.
That they're seeing this as Trump. We're talking about Trump. The picture you need to see is we're talking about every former president. And Biden, Obama, Clinton, whoever. I mean, and our future presidents when they are former presidents. How do we go about this? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for it.
And presidents are generally impeached, not jailed. And they're trying to do the opposite with
Correct.
Trump here. And also these charges are completely bogus. So
right. And people can just vote them out. And they no longer have any power.
That's it.
Chris Christie, interesting comment from Chris Christie. You know how the Chris Christie Donald Trump war has gone.
Oh yeah.
You know, maybe Christie wants somebody else to make this observation, but here we go.
A criminal trial is a really awful thing to go through. And if you look at Trump physically right now, he looks terrible.
What a neat world.
And believe me.
So good.
Thank you, Kettle.
I say that when
when your belt is up to your chest.
Thank you, Humpty.
You know what? You know
Governor
what?
Fair, Kettle is weighing in.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the box.
Fair point, but fair as point. You said, probably not the guy to present it.
Yeah, if you're going to point it out, don't let him be the one to do it. I'd rather that guy with a scratchy voice. Yeah.
Sure.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
A criminal trial is a really awful thing to go through. And if you look at Trump physically right now, he looks terrible.
Now,
if he wanted to go on and say, I should know this, because look at me.
Yeah,
like,
look
if
at
he
me.
Wanted to say that, yeah, but he didn't.
I'm a tub of goo.
Yeah.
Trump does look stressed in a lot of pictures.
I agree,
but that's probably not. He's just not the guy that ought to present.
Yeah, plus, he's not able to be active. He's having to sit there all day.
Yeah,
he
can't.
Yeah, I mean, he's in court all day.
Right. And Bill Clinton, you know, he weighed in too and said, well, his problem is he don't know how to act around women.
Yeah, he just respects women.
I will say that Trump's eyes still look alive. And the photos of Biden, if you get up close, there's nobody home, guys.
There's nobody
the
there.
Lights are off and nobody's home.
He's the oldest president in the history of the country at 81 now, running for re-election.
Wow. If you leave us, have a good weekend. Boy. Catch the Rick and Bubba archives today. If you got more, we'll be back. Rick and Bubba. All right. So, Bubba, we didn't finish all of the Trump update that we had. We got hit with the top of the hour break. And, of course, the unbelievable words, Trump doesn't look good right now. from Chris Christie. Let me tell you, when Chris Christie is concerned about your physical appearance, you have got to do something.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's a three-bell alarm.
This ongoing thing, and, you know, we're always afraid to say it. It seems to me we go up, right? Mar-a-Lago?
Mar-a-Lago.
That's one of those words when it creeps up. Mar-a-Lago. And Adler, what is this? This is how Trump ended up with Mar-a-Lago. What you said it was interesting, but why is it
this
interesting?
Is the art of the deal here, guys.
Oh, he's going to is this where he's going to tell us where he got the greatest deal the world's ever known and he beat somebody out of something?
This is a robot voice. I don't know why it's a robot voice narrator, but it is. But it's got some interesting facts about how Mar-a-Lago came to be and how Trump got it, if you guys want to check it out.
Okay.
Love him or hate him, Trump's Mar-a-Lago acquisition was a great real estate deal, and his tactics will make you love or hate him more. In 1927, Marjorie Meriwether Post, heiress to the Postum cereal company, built Mar-a-Lago, meaning from sea to lake, when she decided her other Florida home was too small for parties. The 58-bed, 33-bath complex in Palm Beach cost $7 million, which is about $120 million in today's money.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
That goes against
the lawsuit that Trump said he overstated the value.
I thought it was only worth $18
million. Uh-huh.
Wait a minute.
Robot voice disagrees.
Wow.
Thank you for catching
that.
Oh, sorry.
parties there hosting celebrities and diplomats alike. Upon her death in 1973, she willed it to the US government, wishing it to become a winter White House. However, it was too costly to maintain, and the government gave it back to the estate, which put it up for sale in 1983 with a minimum asking price of $20 million plus $8 million for the furniture. Donald Trump had been hunting for a Palm Beach home at that time and put in an offer for $15 million. It was rejected. So he bought the property between Mar-a-Lago and the ocean for $2 million, and publicly stated his intention to build a house blocking Mar-a-Lago's view. Other buyers backed out, and Trump's second offer for $5 million was accepted. He paid an additional $3 million for the furniture. Eventually, he did turn it into a winter White House.
I get it.
You know, he did something similar in New York City
for
to get Trump,
Trump Tower.
That's Trump
what I've heard, too.
Well,
so, I don't know if that story's true or not, but I'd always heard that.
Well, no, the one in, about Trump Tower, I think he actually confirmed that, I thought, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But this one, I don't
know. And what the story was, there was a...
I can't remember now.
Wasn't it a department store that owned it? Or the property next to it or something?
So I'm going to do that thing that I shouldn't do when you're hosting a radio show that has millions of people, but I do it anyway.
Right.
Where I begin to try to remember something. I put fragments together and I don't have it right. Like Nikki Betts writing Layla. But anyway, the real
close.
I was close. It was Dwayne Allman. But
see,
let me tell you this. That's my problem. I don't miss big. I just miss, but it's always reasonable.
Yeah.
But it's still a miss.
See if you can find the same clip for Trump Tower. I think there's one out there about it.
Really?
All right, let me try.
Is that same robot voice?
But I thought it was something
with a British accent.
I thought it was something to do. You're the same thing. Some historic building that everybody beloved, and he was going to take it and tear it down and build it right there if they didn't give him what he wanted, and to protect this historic building, that's what got him. I don't remember.
It was something.
Rick,
that
just,
he
why
had
are you
the
doing
property
this?
Next to it and was going
right.
to build over the top
something.
Of there. Some weird something. I forgot what it was.
I don't know why.
Here's what I found, but after Antonio Brown, I'm not just going to read it if you want to look into it.
Oh, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, my goodness. I just Googled how did Trump get Trump Tower.
Just looking at Trump, you can see why he has his hair the way it is. Why?
Rick!
I'm just kidding. It says...
I see. Now you know why.
No, there's too many words in I don't feel comfortable with.
Tiffany's was next door, their flagship building. I knew it had something to do with
it. That's what it is.
Right.
Zoning. He had to. Trump had to convince the New York City Department. Blah, 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 blah.
Y'all researching this on air?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm reading.
Okay, we'll just tell you something.
That went clear.
That he makes. He's pretty smart on real estate deals, and Trump Tower was one too. Let's just say that.
Nailed it.
I don't think we should try anything else.
Don't wade into the details.
No. There were so many companies and words in that Speedy gave me. I wanted no part of it.
I scared.
It was terrifying. But if that's the way that went down, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was some kind of long story.
But I think, like y'all said, probably the most provocative statement in that was that it was $7 million when she built it. But by today's money, that's $120 million.
And remember, that was part, as Adler pointed out, of the court case in New York that he'd overstated his assets because was it $18 million they said Mar-a-Lago?
They said 18 to 27 is what it was worth.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to pay the state like $500 million then, is what we think.
Right.
Because there's so many victims of this crime. Oh, wait, there aren't any!
Not one.
Don't get upset, Alton. I mean, I know. Did you ever think we would look at that man right there? And he'd be standing up for Trump.
I just care about truth.
I know you do.
Not with a man.
Well, if anybody that says the swamp doesn't exist, this is absolute proof. They've come out of the cave to show themselves.
By the way, I talked to someone yesterday that told me they've left the left, and you won't believe who it was. I'll tell you in the break. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Also, we do have some awkwardness going on with Adler and the golden ticket seats today. We know this is the final year of the show, which has caused an onslaught of people wanting to be in the golden ticket seats, not just out there, those of you that are, you know, just trying to do that, but anyone connected to us in any way, shape, or form, or people who are trying to be connected to us in order to get a golden ticket seat, we're overwhelmed would be an understatement. I had someone text me yesterday, and I said, look for a Friday sometime in October, and I'll see if I can get you in. But anyway, so we're overwhelmed, and so we all had, I thought, agreed that we would keep each other informed, and we'd make sure of all people that Helmsy would know anytime that we had people that we were trying to bring in. And we've had a pretty good system going of all of us communicating quite well.
Yeah,
also. And that seems like that applies to everyone on the show except for Adler.
What?
Who has decided not to keep us informed.
No, Rick, he said to hell with it.
Yeah, right. He
did. That's the exact quote.
What? Yeah.
And just sheepishly walked over. For some reason, to Speedy, I guess he was looking for the person that was least likely to jump him for it.
Sure.
And he goes over.
We are workplace best friends.
This is the part I loved. Oh, that's by the true. Way, I may have some people coming in today.
I may.
Now, don't forget, we're 22 minutes into people already here.
Yeah, right. Sure. Right.
And thought
and
we
full
had
house.
And have a full house and even two extras,
yep.
And then you think, well, it must be some friend of his, one person.
Yeah.
And we go. So what are we saying? Four?
I think
four.
Maybe three.
I don't know. I think four. And oh, by the way, little kids as well. And we're like, you're just throwing this at nobody. Nobody's gotten ready for it. We nobody knew this.
No.
You're throwing this at us. And he says basically he's doing it because they named their kid Adler.
What am I supposed to do? They named their kid after me.
So how long have you known them?
I don't know. I don't know them. No. Yeah.
How old's the kid? Close friends.
How old's the kid?
I do not know how old the kid is.
You don't know anything.
And you said kids, plural.
Yeah.
I think they have two. I think I have one or two kids.
How long have you known this? How long have you known this?
All right.
That's what I'm after, Hams. How long have you known this?
Beep, beep, beep. Let's back it up. So I'm like y'all. I'm getting emails all the time from people asking, please, please, please. I love
every
the show.
Day.
Adler,
every day.
Adler, you're hilarious.
Stuff like that.
Way yeah. funnier than Greg, all this stuff.
Right.
I get those emails all the time.
And usually some kind of story like, you know, almost like Vicky. Could you please get us in before this person passes away? You know,
yeah.
this kind of stuff.
Right. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And they got me with this particular email because they named their kid Adler.
Are you sure about that?
The kid's first name is Adler.
Why would they do that?
Did they
named it after me because I'm so cool, Greg.
I guess that's it.
Why does it have to explain this?
Did they say?
It's self-explanatory.
Pretty much.
Did they say directly to you, our kid's name is Adler, and we named him after you? I'd just like to ask that question.
I read between the lines a little bit.
You added. No one has said that directly.
Their kid's name is Adler.
Right. Well, that's factually.
That's my name.
Right. Is it a girl or a boy?
Good question.
That is a good question.
I actually don't know that. That's a good question.
So y'all are close.
That's a great question. If it's a girl, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed, frankly.
Why would you be?
Because, in my mind, I'm seeing like this little Adler that's going to grow up to be as big and strong as I am one day.
You're right. Well, if he's three, he's almost there.
Yeah.
We're not upset that there's a connection, but we're trying to be organized.
Okay.
We want to be on top of it.
They emailed me.
I mean, we're moving
so
people
ago.
Around now.
They emailed me so long ago, and I forgot.
Okay.
Okay. And now, they emailed me today, and they're like, "Hey, we're on our way. Thanks for saying we could come." And I was like, "I got to go talk to some people."
Would you do what the rest of us are doing?
Yeah.
We then immediately email the person back and we copy Helms on it.
Oh.
And we say, yeah. Hey, we don't know whether this day will work or not. Helmsy knows.
Oh.
And then if he can't accommodate you, we'll find you another day. But he's the one who knows.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, see, that's how it works.
And I got to tell you, I'm just going to be straight up with y'all.
Yeah.
We're running out of days.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm already in November.
Oh, wow. Mm, yeah. So I missed October.
Yeah.
It's April.
Yeah.
Boy, aren't you something?
Well, that's good.
Great man.
By the way, he did something
that
I bet Joe Biden
calendar has really paid off.
Yeah, right.
Getting pretty good.
Because I know what's about to happen is we're all going to start getting emails, and it's not happening. It's just not happening.
It's not. You got to name your kid Adler, then I'll let you in.
I mean, listen, I'm not trying to. I'm just telling you what it is. We've only got so many seats. There's only so many days, and we've run out.
How about
guys? I'm in November. I just had to tell somebody. Sorry, we don't do a show on Thanksgiving week.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about this? I just had three emails. Somebody claimed their kid's name Burgess. See what you've done.
Yeah. Right.
Speedy, see if you can get us Protective Life Stadium. Maybe we can do it over there.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
I've had people say, and I'm going to go back and check in again, because I think this was being considered, that the big year-ender should be like in a concert hall or something.
Oh, for sure.
Because I don't know. I know that can be done, but It's a lot.
It's turkey toss, is what it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I was noticing one thing with that.
But only
that
more
I've,
complicated.
I've picked up on him when he's uncomfortable or he has to tell me or one of us something that, like, he starts to play with his hair a little bit.
I don't play with my hair.
And he got it out of his ponytail and he started like, I got a guy.
I have seen him do that.
Yeah, and
Jealous, friend?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Is this the Chris Christie thing in reverse? This is the Chris Christie thing going back the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't like seductively playing with my hair while talking to you. That's not what was going on.
I'll tell you what.
Look, I'm sorry.
I've got this guy.
I did notice though that you redid your, and I was like, something's coming.
I was uncomfortable.
You know how you put things. You put things like this to bed. You just own it. Mm-hmm. I forgot.
That's it.
I apologize to the team, and it won't happen again.
Yep.
Just take ownership on it.
Wow.
It was on me.
I'm sorry, but I did just get an email from somebody that says my kid's name is literally Rick and Bubba Show. So. Please let me have tickets. You got it, Steven. You got it, Steven.
So they're not here. So
I think they okay. Let me go back to my email. They said
my favorite's going to be when it's not this day.
Yeah,
when he's going to realize that it really isn't today because he's really on top of it.
Okay, here we go. We're headed that way. It's going to be close to 8:30. Our four-year-old. Okay, our 4 year old has already mentioned having to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
and we're not even 30 minutes down the road.
Oh no,
where are they coming?
So I think it's going to be a newborn Adler. The kid.
So we got an infant in here.
So basically a daycare. I've invited a daycare into the studio.
Okay.
Well, the good news is that won't disrupt all these adults that are getting a break from their kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's
a good thing.
Yeah. My bad, everyone.
What's the family's name?
I don't know if I should say their last name. Because then you have the kid's first and last name.
Right. Oh, okay.
You know what's odd? It says
privacy. You know, the dad, privacy.
We're going to say hey to him later, but that's fine.
The dad says his kids call him Thor. I thought that was strange. but you have to know the inside joke on that one.
That's my dad's grandpa name, which is so ridiculous.
I don't know where I get my weirdness from. Yeah, where did that come from? We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And forever.
So AI, good, bad, ugly. Well,
Rick, it's all in the people handling it, I guess.
Yep.
We have a case here, and this is one of the things we've talked about, where there was an audio tape of a principal at a high school giving a racist rant,
mm-hmm.
and it got out through the town.
Mm-hmm.
People were incited. They wanted him to lose his job. They wanted him prosecuted. The only problem is that the whole recording was AI generated. He never said any of that.
Didn't happen.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, you have this with audio, which you can do AI audio now on websites and apps. I mean, it's not that strange anymore. And then if you take it to a higher level, the deep fake videos, which are incredible. Yeah. I mean, you just go, what is going on here? But here's a little bit of that rant, and Adler's going to edit it on the fly.
And it does have some insensitive language, but just so everybody knows, this is fake. This is AI.
Here every day. Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to drag.
So, and see, it even sounds like it's been caught on a secret tape recorder. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that sound to it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is fake. It's not edited. The whole thing has been generated, and it's fake.
Here's what I do like about the story is that the person, is it Dazon Darian?
Yes.
The former athletic director was arrested and charged for fabricating, as Bubba said, not some of the tape, the entire tape.
Wow.
So now think about that. The good news is he was arrested. So I guess there are some avenues you can go, that's not me. I didn't do that. How do you prove that?
But think about the damage that could be done by this.
Oh, Bubba.
If they could not prove it. I mean, you've got a guy that's going to be tattooed as a racist. He's going to lose his job, possible violence, disrupt the community. It's just incredible the amount of damage could be done with this stuff. And it's not that hard to do anymore.
Hmm. I know. And so when we get to the point to where we live in a time, too, where people say, if I don't like you, I don't want to just disagree with you. I want to destroy you.
Yeah.
I want to take away your ability to live, have a livelihood, whatever.
If I can't get the Justice Department to go after you and destroy you, I'll just make an AI tape.
By the way, on that note, why don't the Democrats just AI Trump? I mean, they can make him do whatever they want him to do and fake it.
They knew it was fake because at the end of the recording, the recording said, "This is MAGA country."
Okay.
All right. So we have a billboard ad, too, that is reminding people now down the AI process, you don't need humans anymore. Have you seen this?
Right. That's not seen good. This one,
so. Yeah. So this is a billboard that says, "Are you still hiring humans? And call this number," and this is what happens if you call this number. So he's going.
Hey, this is Bland AI. I'm an AI agent that makes millions of phone calls for businesses and in any voice. What's your name?
My name's Mike. What's your name?
Nice to meet you, Mike. I'm Bland. I guess you're calling since you saw our billboard, right?
Yeah, I am.
Great. Well, I guess I should tell you a bit more about myself. I can be programmed to do sales, customer support, or really any type of phone call. What sounds interesting to you, Mike?
You know, sales sounds pretty interesting, but I'm curious if you could tell me more about yourself.
Well, I'm an AI agent that can handle all sorts of phone calls for businesses. I've got a bit of a stutter, but I try to keep things casual and fun.
Wow.
How strange.
Are you still hiring humans?
Yeah. Is it getting good?
Mm. How strange.
I wonder if I can get AI to handle all these emails about golden ticket seats.
Oh, yeah, sure.
According to her, she can handle it.
Yeah, she can handle it. She has a little bit of a stutter.
Now, Adler, a bit of a stutter.
What is this next one? It's it's painting things or animating.
So you think this is good AI? You literally say good AI on here.
Yeah, this to me is like, okay, this is kind of fun and cutesy. This museum in Dubai, you can take your kid to. Your kid can draw an animal of their choosing. So they draw an animal on this piece of paper, and then at the museum, it kind of scans the picture of the animal, and then after it figures out, okay, this is an animal, this is how I can animate it, it puts it then into the jungle scene that the kid can see their drawing now walking around, and it's all automatic, done by an AI computer kind of thing. So that's kind of just a fun thing that AI can do. Mm. But along these lines,
you think this is good?
It's just a fun art thing for
well,
you.
Well, it could be a good learning experience.
Yeah. But somebody made a great point. We really don't want AI to do art for us.
No.
We want to be able to sit around and do art. We want AI to, like, do our laundry and wash our dishes and things like that.
Yeah.
Yet so much of this AI stuff that we've seen so far is creating fake videos, fake recordings, and fake paintings and pictures and things like that. It kind of feels like AI is going a little bit in the wrong direction.
Could we sum it up to say we would love for AI to make our lives better, not take our lives from us?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Free us up to do fun things like art. Do the hard stuff, please.
Right. You know what I hear Adler saying? He's afraid that AI is going to replace drummers.
Oh, you don't think it can?
already happened. Say hello to the DJ, right?
Right. Yeah, that's
right.
Am I right, guys?
Anybody knows that? Yeah. So, the AI stuff is always it can be something that can be kind of good, but these things are so easily abused by people. And
computers are just getting so good, so fast. They have so much memory, and now with the internet, they have literally unlimited resources of information.
And there's lots of professions that are scared to death that AI is going to replace them. And we've talked about it. But just like when you call a doctor now to schedule an appointment, a lot of times those schedulers are just working from home, pulling up the calendar and trying to pull you in and pencil you in. AI can do something as simple like that. They'll look at the schedule and say, okay, yeah, I can get you in. There's a lot of degrees out there that I'd be scared to death.
You know what?
Going, what in the world?
Back in the day, and I'm just saying, you know, long, long ago. Okay. But if you could have had this excuse, that wouldn't be.
I know.
Greg.
Hey, I did it.
Greg could have really used it.
Yeah, that's what his thing all along.
Did you call her? I didn't call her. It must have been some AI thing.
Yeah.
She says I called her. I heard the voice message from AI.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me. So yeah, I guess deep you fake. Go. I guess you can go deep the other fake. Way. Now we can. Now it's going to get to the thing where the whole deal. If something happens, the whole debate now will be: was it done by AI or did I really do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't, because some people are going to claim it when it really is them,
right? Mm-hmm.
You
know,
you
can't trust what you see. You can't trust what you hear.
No.
So what is reality?
I know. All right, phone calls are next. We'll come back. 866 We Be Big. Phone troll coming up. Patriot Mobile. Phone trolls. So if you want to be on, we get a lot of folks in. 30 seconds a pop. All 10 lines are available. Multiple topics have been thrown out on the table today. So take your pick. We'll chat with you, America. Speedy goes to the phones, and we'll talk to you right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Julie in Birmingham, ZZK. Julie, go ahead.
Hey, I was the one that sang Living on a Prayer this morning on the pre-show.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, did you sing it again when we opened the show with it?
Yes, I did, and I sounded a lot better. I'm more of like a group performer than I am a solo act.
Aren't we all?
That's why you want to do a duet.
She wanted to sing with you, right?
Really?
Yes,
that's why I got nervous.
That's a request you don't hear often.
I put on the spot.
Well, you know what?
Rick, I was going to give her a timeout. I noticed you did that real quick.
Yeah, because I had a feeling I was about to have to sing.
I was going
to
make that request.
No, thank you.
What's coming next?
Thank you. Frank, Pell City, ZZK. Frankie, go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I was going to say the string dancers up there a while ago y'all had on that video. I believe them at their parents at the old Grateful Dead show years ago.
Very possible.
That's really good.
Very possible.
Matt in Alabama. Matt, go ahead. 30 seconds.
Good morning, guys. I just had a quick question for everyone to get everyone's opinion. So given how the last 5 years has been going, all this information kind of coming out about the government, how everything's so corrupt and all that, how do you believe what news and what information is put out there now, not knowing if it's even true or not? Or do you pick and choose? Because everybody does the pick and choose.
Yeah, honestly, you make a great question, Matt. I honestly don't know anymore. There was a time when I thought, in most cases, what's being said to me, especially on the news, would be mostly true, if not completely true. I just don't feel that way anymore.
Right.
And it's all, and what's happened now is the world of partial truth, where we're giving you the basic part of the story, but then we're building on it, trying to conform it to our ideology or our worldview, as opposed to this is it, and then you take that and deal with it the way you desire. And I remember that we've heard this by many times, but my wife, when she was who was a reporter, she said, when I was in journalism school, we were asked to raise our hand if we were Republicans or Democrats. And when we did, the professor said, and that needs to be the last time anyone ever knows that.
Yeah.
You need to just go report the news. That's over. And now news and entertainment have become a hybrid. And when news and entertainment become a hybrid, my viewers and my listeners need to be fed the food that they desire for giant ratings. And so everything is catering to the audience they think they garner.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides. And I think that's sad. What you hear now, and I hear this all the time, I'll see people even making comments on social media about us sometimes, and I'll go, see, they're taking something that's partially true, but then they're developing a narrative that is absolutely false. And people used to care about that. There was a time when people, even if they were going to comment on something, of course, at one time, the only place you got to comment was down at the hardware store.
Right.
Now you can comment to the whole world and just be reckless. But I can't tell you how you discern anymore. I don't know. You almost have to have been there.
Because it's full tribal warfare.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so I think what's happened now is not that we just have bold-faced lying. That's always been around.
Well, there's some of that.
But we're living in a gray area of partial truth. But there's not enough truth for the narrative to be right.
Right.
There's a little bit of truth, but not complete truth.
And sorry about that screaming sound earlier. That was Adler.
Yeah,
that was baby it. Adler, not right. me, not no, me, Adler.
No, so. I know that. Yeah, it's true.
That's my bad, everybody. I invited a baby to the studio because they named it Adler.
That's good.
I'm, really, good. I'm sorry.
Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
It's 7.5 minutes now past the hour. Coming to you from the Big Boy Studio on Bleeding Edge of Technology, Sweet Home Alabama, out to the rest of the world, live and archived on various platforms. And we thank you for being with us as we go forth. So a wonderful Wheel of Canned Meat will be taking place this hour. Listeners in the golden ticket seats who desire will spin that wonderful wheel and hopefully win some prizes. If they land on something that we ain't got no more, then they'll pick from things within the studio and out of everyone's individual offices that might be a nice keepsake that we're going to be getting rid of anyway. All right, so that'll happen coming up. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy, and Eddie Van Adler all here. Welcome back, Bill Bubba Bus.
Rick, glad to be here. Thank all of you for joining us.
What in the world?
And thank you for that big build-up.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
The final countdown.
So, Bubba, we have stories to do before we get to the Whittle Meat today. And we have one, the art of getting out of a ticket. We talked about on the show so many times.
Oh, my goodness.
So Rick, many times.
Stomach attack doesn't work.
This is Giselle, the supermodel, former wife to Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And she is caught at a traffic stop and, from what I understand, tries to cry her way out of a ticket.
So
if Giselle can't get out of one, who can, right?
Well, I almost asked a dumb question. I started to ask Bubba, is it a male or female officer? And then I realized if she was female, she wouldn't try this. So so you know,
well,
it's a male.
Well, in today's world.
Well, Greg, thank you for that. Speaking of spinning the wheel of... Well, let's go to the footage.
Here from ABC News.
ABC News has been running this. Yeah.
Here. Why are you crying?
This morning, police body camera footage showing supermodel Giselle Bundchen pulled over for a traffic stop after she says paparazzi was following her. Watch as the officer approaches her gray Mercedes SUV.
I'll give you a courtesy today.
Thank you. I was just trying to stay from that guy.
I understand who you are. I know that. I'll give you a courtesy. There's nothing I can do about that.
Nobody's talking.
Police pulling her over north of Miami Beach. She's then seen breaking down in tears.
Nothing protects me. I can't do nothing. I just want to live my life.
I can't prevent them from doing their job, which is to take pictures.
Bundchen owns two homes in the beachside community. Her ex-husband, football legend Tom Brady, also living in the area. Florida authorities opting not to ticket Bundchen. Superstars.
Okay, so she's more upset about the paparazzi.
It worked. She got out of it. Well, she beat it.
Or that's the story she made up.
Yeah. She couldn't afford it. I know.
Well, she was pointing to the guy.
I hope she survived.
Bless her heart. She can't have any life.
She just wants to live her life, Greg. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of people who like to have her life, but yeah, she wants to live her life.
She wants to struggle through it.
She just wants to struggle through being a supermodel and was married to NFL, well, the greatest NFL quarterback of all time.
She made more money than he did. So.
And she made more money than he did, but maybe she didn't get through it.
Is there somebody in the passenger seat? What did they keep blurring out?
One of the kids, maybe?
I think it was maybe even her ID they were trying to blur out. He was handing back to her. I don't know what they were blurring out.
I thought maybe somebody else was riding in the other seat.
Yeah, like, okay.
You're not a public figure, so we're not putting you on there.
Who thought that if you had had makeup artist to make you look your very best and took 10 million pictures of you laying all over beaches all over the world, people would want to take pictures of you.
I know.
Who would have thought that? I'm like,
well, this is that thing that you just said clearly. When your whole living has been, look at me, look at me, look at me, stop looking at me.
Yeah, that's a tough gear there.
That's a tough one.
I paid my ticket this week, by the way, the one that we talked about. Yeah,
you didn't cry your way out of it?
I tried every which way I could.
Even the kids, they tried to cry.
I even showed some skin to the officer. It didn't work.
Didn't work? Oh,
but you never know.
I was in Mountain Brook. I thought it would work.
Oh, you're terrible. Should have tried that on the south side. Probably would have worked.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all here.
Yeah.
Come on.
They're following me.
Bill Belichick, speaking of Tom Brady and speaking of the NFL, you know how sometimes, Bubba, there can be too many swings from one degree to another and it'll make your head spin?
Yes.
I think we may have this. Bill Belichick, Mr. Excitement, will now be a weekly guest on Pat McAfee's ESPN show.
You love that.
Could two people on energy be on two more ends of the spectrum?
Well, you know.
Yes, one extreme to the other.
Yeah. On the surface, it looks like it is polar opposites.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe, and I don't know, maybe that Belichick, now that he doesn't have to coach and he's, you know, cemented his legacy, that he'll loosen up a little bit. Now, the reason I say that is, I don't know if you saw Nick Saban on the draft coverage.
Great example.
I have never seen him that happy in my entire life.
He's having
the
time of his life. Or his hair that sharp.
I mean, he's usually very businesslike, very limited. He's to the point, whatever. He looked like he was having fun. He was doing good commentary last night. I mean, he knows the deal, you know. But he looked – I thought it was one of his best media presentations I've ever seen.
I think we tend to forget that these people are happy people. And if you talk to the wives and the kids, they're like, hey, he's actually pretty joyful and happy when he's around us.
Sure.
He has to be strictly business. I've seen Bill Belichick in some documentaries open up and do some things that I never thought he would do.
Right. Well, maybe
so
he
I think he will. I think this will be good.
Do you think he wants to get the record? He's 15 wins short of the all-time record in the NFL. How important is it trying to get a team to finish that? Age is catching up.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think that he's 72 is the only reason why no one will hire him? Just because he's 72?
Well, you know,
if he was still younger than that and all the wins he's got, certainly somebody would hire him, especially a team that had nothing to lose.
Well, you know, we had the story that it was actually the Patriots owner that submarined his deal with the with the Falcons. So I don't know if that's true or not. Who knows? But his age would have to play some you know, into this somehow.
Yeah. Well, based on this story, his first step into this was at the draft yesterday, doing something with Pat McAfee yesterday on the on his show. All I see is a steel shot.
Now, is he wearing a tank top?
He's not. He's in a suit.
I meant Bill Belichick.
That's what I meant. Well,
To match Pat.
Yeah, McAfee is actually wearing Bruce Springsteen's blue jean jacket. But you look at Belichick, he's in a full suit.
Yeah, you know, and when Saban look at there you go. Okay.
Must have been cold.
Y'all want to hear it?
A little bit.
All right, let's see if he's animated. He seems to be smiling already.
McAfee talks with Belichick.
You're a legend as a coach, legend as a GM, and I think no matter what you choose to do forever, if you remain in television, which we would all be very lucky, you're going to crush it. If you get back into coaching and GMing, we'll all be pumped to watch it. All we know is tonight was awesome, and thank you.
Is there any chance I could be on your show during the fall?
Yeah, like like Mondays?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
It's a good day.
Because, look, I was in I got fired twice in Detroit.
Okay.
In 76, after the season,
Idiot.
They fired us, right? But then they couldn't get Knox to come, so they rehired us and then fired us in 77. And so I don't want to get fired here tonight and make it a hat trick.
No, how about you get hired? How about every Monday this fall?
Hey. Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Damn.
Hey. Oh, did he want a high five?
I think he did. That was a good step in the right direction. Let's not pick it apart.
Did he want a high five?
I kind of like him quiet.
I'm wondering if that was a bit or
put a sweatshirt back on him.
They already knew about it because, you know, Saban and Aaron were paid pretty good to be weekly guests on his
that
show.
That was like watching a turtle try to sprint.
Rick
Burger.
He was trying to get some energy. I saw it.
He was.
Turtle trying to sprint. Give him time.
A little clunky.
He's got that tone.
He's got a long history of being very gray that he's got to break out of.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a big step.
I thought that was a real big step.
Gigantic step.
Yep. We continue with phone calls. Let's go to Tim in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Tim, welcome to Rick and Bubba. If you want to join us, call us now. Go ahead, Tim.
Good morning, guys. Hey. I have a question for you.
Okay.
If Trump is on trial for election interference, shouldn't all those organizations that stifles the Hunter laptop story be on trial for election interference?
Well, that's, you know, there's a lot of apples and oranges in there. You know,
I see what you're trying to say.
Sure. But
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, there's all kinds of allegations of election interference in so many different
ways. I would say the biggest interference is him being put on trial during the middle of election.
Yeah, which
I think that's much more disruptive than what he is accused of.
Yeah, which is kind of what everybody's talking about right now, isn't it?
It's changed this, and you know, you think, no, well, it won't keep like, yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
It'll go back the other way.
Ken and Tallahassee. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a minute since I had the opportunity to call in to just thank you guys so much for what y'all do. And, you know, I don't always get to catch you live. Sometimes I have to go back, listen to you via podcast. But I also wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you to Bubba. Recently, I reached out to him concerning ham radio. I'm kind of getting into it and wanting to learn and things like that. And I really appreciate him taking the time to respond to me.
Yeah, man, no problem.
And, that's all I was gonna say. And I really appreciate what y'all guys do. And you know, I look forward to what each of you do in future endeavors.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. You know, the key to getting a response on email is putting the right topic in that header. And if ham radio's in that header,
watch out.
Well, I just headed him to the people that can answer his question.
I look,
spread love.
Buddy.
I know you were the face of tennis. Are you the face of ham now?
No, there's so many ham people out there.
I ain't the face of anything.
The face of ham.
Doug. I'm just the big face.
Doug in Tuscaloosa. Doug, go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. So I've got a thoughts on how to fix the NIL and transfer portal deal.
Okay.
I think we should leave the transfer unlimited because kids need to get in a better situation sometimes. But
like my
they need to put a cap, a one-year cap on their NIL money. So once they transfer, they can't sign for any more money for 1 year. And I think that will regulate keeping people from switching back and forth, seniors from switching. And kind of control the situation.
Well, I understand you're wanting to slow down this process of just running from one team to another. I mean, college football has turned into AAU basketball now. Yes. You know, you just run to whatever team you want to play on. There's several things I think are being talked about. One of them is going to be a penalty or a payback clause in these contracts if you change schools.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll either have to sit on the money or be prepared to pay it back, or you could be sued, I guess, if you were in breach of contract. Okay. So something has to be done. I mean, it's turned into, you know, playtime where you pick teams, you know, and it's just the coaches can't build a team. They're not loyal to the teams. The players are not loyal to them. We've got to slow this down just a little bit. I thought a long time ago they should have stopped coaches from leaving before the season was totally over. I mean, after everything was done, then all coaches can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But it's just harem scarem now.
Yeah, I know it feels odd for a fan, and I understand, like you said, both sides of it, to go, I'm the only person loyal to my team.
Yeah.
the coaches aren't, the players aren't, and boy, these tickets cost a lot of money.
And some of the fans, you know, other than just liking the team, have no connection, which you don't have to. They play, and you can be for whoever you want to. Right. But it's those are the people who are loyal above everybody, you know.
And then if you decide you want to be a bandwagon fan, what do they call you? Well, you know what? You're a fair weather fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which really makes more sense.
But you see the point. Well, so wait a minute. I can't be a fair weather fan, but you can be a fair weather player or coach.
Right. And actually hurt the team.
Right. We continue. Bobby Prattville, a question for Greg. Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, Greg, they need to do a mashup between Thousand Pound Sisters and the Skinwalker Ranch and get Travis out there to find out what's going on underneath there, and they can call the Skinwalker Ranch.
All right, I can't even.
That's good.
Come on, man.
I think he had
well
a
done.
Come on.
Well done.
Come on.
Call TLC.
Shouldn't you be putting something on Twitter that Speedy reads? Sheila in Homewood.
Right here.
Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Okay, this is for Greg. I know how much he loves RFK's voice.
Yeah.
When the Kennedys endorse Biden, he needs to listen to his sister speak.
Oh, we did.
He kind of sounds the same.
No, we did.
Are you serious?
No, we played it. You weren't here that day? Or were you maybe doing phones? Yeah, Greg may not have been here. Yeah, we played it, and she has the same exact problem. No, no, straight up.
Is it to that
extent? It's the same. It's the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah.
Good night.
It's the same, Greg.
Ron, you're doing pretty well, by the way. Ron in Opa-locka, go ahead.
I know, dude.
Ron?
Sorry.
Ronaldo?
Hey, Ronnie.
Ron? Rusty? he's not there.
Billy! Billy!
Hey!
So, no. No, yeah, Greg, we were playing it. And you know, this was that thing where his family, they're divided. They're not voting for
That's
him.
Right. I do remember that.
Yeah, and
but I don't remember her voice being that way.
What? Buddy. Uh-uh. Have you lost your mind?
Yes.
Were you in there on the phones or something? That's very possible. I can see Adler looking at it right now. No, because we start saying, does she talk just like him? And we're like, yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. And then you said earlier, Adler, that this
I forgot
that this challenge is genetic. You can get it.
It is?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
He said that earlier.
Well, yeah, I found it.
I've never heard any other Kennedys having it.
It mm-hmm. can be genetic, but it also can come from like illnesses, a injury, or something like that. Here she is for Greg.
Kennedy family.
Where's your headset?
Live on your screen, ahead of the president's.
Go, lady, go talk. Here we go.
To endorse me there on the stage.
Sorry, it's a commentary on the endorsement.
I remember the other brother back there looking goofy.
You don't remember what she sounded like, Greg? You, of all people, usually take notes like that. You remember those things like an elephant usually.
Yeah, sadly, if we played back the segment, I think you had a great line.
Yeah. You're going that far.
I think you even threw something out there.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember her sounding like that. I don't know what happened. I blocked it.
I'd put that down on your list.
It's okay, Greg. Yeah. It's all right, buddy.
He's just thinking shops at Grand River.
If you leave us, have a great, great weekend, and we'll catch you, Lord willing, on Monday.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba inviting you to Monday's Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show. We'll kick off the week together. We'll review things we missed over the weekend, and it won't be the same without you.
Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you Monday on a brand new Rick and Bubba Show.
Thanks for listening to the daily best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.